B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Win it Bruin style. Bruin style. It's playoff time, and now Chicago plays the Bruins. And just like playing Pittsburgh, we will leave this team in ruins. We'll bring the Stanley back to Boston, because we are the Bruins. Winning games is what we're doing. We've got Tuukka Rask. This guy knows how to stop the puck, and he moves very fast. Don't mess with Thornton, because that guy knows how to kick your ass. Don't mess with Jagr or Patrice Bergeron. Don't poke the bear. Do not poke the bear. Beat the Blackhawks. Let's beat the Blackhawks for the cup.
Hey.
We want the cup.
Hey.
We'll beat the Blackhawks. Yes, beat the Blackhawks for the cup.
Hey.
We want the cup.
Hey.
And this is how we're going to get the Stanley Cup. Win it Bruin style. Hey, David Krejci. Win, 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 win. Win it Bruin style. Hey, David Krejci. Win, 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 win. Win it Bruin style.
A rectum.
Hey. Hey, good morning. That's the COVID. Hey, good morning to everybody. Yeah. Good morning. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. Not enough talking before the show. You can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app at your app store. Stream the show. Listen to the podcasts. And so much more. So much more available there.
Mm-hmm.
As the Bruins do indeed. They dropped the puck this evening on the 2021 season.
It sucks because I've got to do it today. I've got to go back and call my cable company and sign back up for it because I was saving, I think, close to 70-something bucks a month by using YouTube TV. And YouTube TV is great, too, because you can also watch it on your phone. Like, I think, like, you can have, like, seven different, you know, on your laptop and seven different devices you can watch YouTube TV. On top of that, I can use it for work because it's got, like, this never-ending DVR thing, and we can use it for sound clips. And just Nesson and YouTube TV can't get their crap together to get it back on there. And I swear, I mean, it's one of those things where I think after Bruin season, yeah, I mean, I might just, like, go back to YouTube TV and then have to switch back. I mean, listen, it's one of those things where
it's
on Fubo TV. Everyone's saying, do Fubo TV. But then you go to that streaming deal, which is kind of nice because it's got most of the stuff that YouTube TV had. But it doesn't have any of the TNT stations. So you're not going to get any of the Final Four, any of the March Madness stuff. You're not going to get the NBA on TNT. So it's like each one of these streaming things is almost what you want, but not exactly. And for a while, YouTube TV was. And I can't understand, A, why cable costs so much more now that they've got the competition in these streaming services. And B, I don't care whose fault it is. And I guess most people are pointing the finger at Nesson because I guess PlayStation also, that network, whatever it was, had NESN for a while, and it was dropped, or NESN left them as well because they weren't getting paid as much. But yeah, so I got to go through that pain in the ass today because they couldn't work it out. And it sucks. And so that basically means that I'm going to be paying like $900 more a year if I keep it just to watch NESN.
Oh, there you go.
I'm surprised. I thought they'd get this done. I really did.
Why? I thought they would too.
Well, because most of these deals, Fred, after all the bitching only and moaning, get done at the last moment.
Generally only with the DirecTV and cable. Where that's generally when it happens.
Well, maybe that's my point of reference. I mean, you and I both have DirecTV. Yeah, we see it all the time, and at the last minute, oh, there it is, back on.
With DirecTV, they got to make the deal. I mean, I don't even know how much I spend, hundreds of dollars a month. We have everything.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, if I want to watch something, I just sign up for the streaming service.
Well, the thing is that, yeah, I mean, our listeners are unbelievable because, you know, they end up emailing all these things. Hey, if you really want to watch it, you can go to this stream right here. And like, all these people have these, like, websites. Anytime there's a UFC fight or something, it's like, dude, there's no need to pay for it. Check this out. And it's like, you got to click through eight things and there's a million different pop-ups. So, I mean, I at least appreciate the listeners trying to help out there, but it shouldn't be this tough. Like, it shouldn't get to the point where cable's the only place where you can get the stuff that you want, because there's so much garbage that I don't want that's on there. And it's like these streaming services are so ridiculously less expensive that it's almost like you're just throwing away money if you go in the other direction. And I don't know how the competitive market hasn't dictated that cable needs to start lowering their prices. Because, I mean, the amount of people who have cut the cord is significant now. Because you're starting to realize there's no reason for me to have 18,000 channels that I will never watch. Especially when you can buy stuff a la carte now. If you want HBO, you can get HBO Max and things like that. That makes things a lot easier. You're not locked in. You can unsubscribe anytime you want. But, yeah, so I got to jack around with, you know, my cable company after the show for a little bit to make sure I can just get NESN for a little bit. It's the principal, too, that just pisses me off because they can't get this thing worked out. But that's the world we live in right now, Fred.
I mean, the sacrifices you're making are really impressive.
No, it sucks. It sucks. It's an extra $900 a month or a year, rather. Well, that sucks.
What are you going
to
do?
To watch just watch the Bruins.
It's worth it, though.
There you have it.
The Bruins,
then don't
man.
Get it. Then don't watch the
hockey.
Bruins.
Bruins.
I mean, if you don't want to pay it, don't pay it.
No, and by the way, we don't get compensated for our, even though we have to watch for work, that's not something you can write off anymore. So
that's thing too.
I had people say, why don't you just write it off? Well, I can't write it off. It's extra $900 a year just to watch the Bruins because they can't get this thing worked out.
It's just a shame.
It sucks. There's no reason for it.
The reason is they don't do business. And if you want to watch NESN, you got to pay for something that has NESN. It's called free enterprise. It's the way it goes. I mean, listen, where's Lockhart? He's sick?
No, he's at a funeral.
Oh, today. I'm sorry. All right, I was going to say, I wonder if I do have COVID.
Is that a worry for you this morning?
No, but okay. I just, every time I see that someone's gone,
that's Nick's fault.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, every time I see someone's gone, I go, ooh, do they got COVID? Because Nick has COVID, a bunch of people got COVID. This is the COVID time. This right now is where everyone's getting the COVID.
When's the wave supposed to pass us? When are we on the backside of the bell curve?
Saying that 3 weeks after the holidays, like, you know, New Year's, was supposed to be the peak, the worst. So we're about to hit the worst week. And then after that, from there on out, if everything goes according to plan, people obviously aren't going to travel as much because the holidays are over and more vaccines come in. It's supposed to steadily just continue to go down. Theory, we're not supposed to have any more spikes. That's going to be the worst. But Fred's right. I mean, yesterday, I think, set a record, which was the day before was a record, as well. So just we're in the middle of the biggest hump that we're going to have. And then after that, hopefully it's all downhill.
Yeah. Because the good thing is there's a vaccine, because if this was happening before a vaccine, it would be like, oh, God, here we go. And then you would just assume that most healthy people would have just gotten that's the way it was going to go, is most healthy people would just end up with COVID. And then, it's scary if you're in a situation where you can't get it because with the vaccines, and now 3.2% of the Massachusetts population has been vaccinated. over 10 million shots have been given, only 320 million to go. 320 million people, and Gillette will be there with their 300 a day.
They're talking
which will
Fenway.
Ramp up to 5,000.
I don't know what Hardy came in and he was like, "What's Rich's defense of this the Gillette thing?" Again, the whole thing is the scope of Gillette, and then just the 300 thing.
And there are many places that can vaccinate 5,000 people a day.
Well, the day that it comes to 5,000 people a day is the day I'll tip my cap to the good people of Gillette. But 300 people a day is nuts. What was the math Hardy did? How long would it take if you did 300 a day? It was like 85 years to get everyone vaccinated.
No, yeah, 300 a day. We'd all be dead by the time they finished. Yes,
yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, we'd all be over it. We'd already have COVID. Yeah. And we'd say, what do we need from you at this point? But, yeah, there you go. 3.2% of the people of Massachusetts have gotten their first shot.
Okay.
So
we're off and running.
Yeah, so we're cooking with gas.
And for some reason, I think New Jersey announced yesterday, New York has done it, Florida's done it. There's a bunch of states who have started that new CDC guideline where they're like, hey, if your state's got a bunch of vaccines, we're going to drop the age to 65. And if you have one comorbidity, I can't say that word, then you're able to get it now. Basically, these states are jumping to phase two because they're like, we've got the vaccine for it. Let's do it. And yesterday, I even watched the thing that Baker did. And they're like, no, we're not quite ready for that yet. I'm like, dude, you've used less than 50% of your vaccine.
33%.
Let's get things going. Like, I think that they're in the bottom half of the states as far as, like, I mean, they're right there in the middle, but I believe it's the bottom half.
Yeah, we're behind
states
such
use their vaccine.
Yeah, we're behind such wonders as Kentucky, Utah, Louisiana. Louisiana's got their stuff together better than Massachusetts. That's saying something. When Louisiana, where anything goes, they can't even keep the water out of the city.
Yeah.
That is where, when they got that going. Tennessee is vaccinated more people than Massachusetts has. But in Tennessee, it's funny because you have to find out through people where they're giving out the vaccines. It's like the 90210, John, where you had to give the egg to the guy at the convenience
store. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they told you where the rave was.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's how it's going in Tennessee, is that, like, your neighbor will go, like, they got the vaccine over at the corner store. Be there at 8. And then you get there at 8, and then they'll give you the shot. So it'll be interesting to see how it works with the second shot. But there you go. Palau, P-A-L-A-U, has given more shots, or has a higher percentage of their population, has been given the shot than Massachusetts. Where I don't know where that is. New Hampshire is like lapping us.
Yeah.
By a percentage point. Nebraska, Montana lapping us.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma really lapping us.
Palau is an island country located in the western Pacific.
And West Virginia got it together. They're just throwing them at dartboards. West Virginia's almost got everyone vaccinated. They got over 6% of their population. 6%, that's fairly impressive. Then you're making, that's an actual dent. 6% of the population is a dent. Then you add up all the people in West Virginia who's probably had it. And then, I mean, if you go and had it and got the shot, so say 10% of West Virginians have gotten it. I mean, you're almost up there at 20% of the people that are going to be COVID free. So let's get it together, Massachusetts. I mean, I know that the Gillette Stadium has got, those 300 are adding up, but let's go. Let's get them in arms. Come on, baby. Let's dance. You know where you're going this weekend, Johnny?
No. Where am I going this
weekend? No, in terms of your basketball.
Oh, yes, I do. I'm going to Westford, Massachusetts. I'm going, I'm driving about 50 minutes. It's Pike West to 495 North for about 25 miles. And it's, I'm glad you asked us, Fred. It's tomorrow night. Saturday night is the game. It's a 7 o'clock game on a Saturday night. And you know what? And it's a facility, very nice facility called Millworks. And, they're not allowing parents in. So I get to drive all that way and then sit in the parking lot for an hour and a half.
How many games?
Just one this time.
Well, then you'll only be in there for about a half an hour because they get those things over with quick. 14 minute halves with a nice, like, 2 minute halftime. Oh, yeah.
Good.
I'm going to Middleton, Massachusetts.
Yeah, yeah.
A Saturday afternoon, though.
I guess is Westford right by Lowell, John?
It's close to it, yes.
Okay, because I accidentally ended up there. Last time I was up there, I went to the Golden Gloves that boxing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which, by the way, is the it's great for a million reasons, but the people watching is superior. Yeah. The Lowell Golden Gloves. But yeah, I ended up at like an Arby's in Westford.
No, yeah.
I got completely
no,
lost.
No, there's like a muffin place near where I'm going to be, and there's like one Shaw's supermarket with an Osco Drugs in Groton, which is the next town over.
Right.
That's where I'll be, baby, and I'll be camped out in the parking lot eating my beef jerky and almonds.
Wow, Middleton, be awesome. Middleton's really far, too.
Yes.
That's up by Topsfield.
Yep.
I'll tell you, build a palace and they will come. Build a basketball palace and they shall come.
Saturday night in Westford, Mass. Drop the disco ball, baby. Let's party. Yeah,
at least mine's during the day. Well, it's on my birthday, too, so that's how I'm spending my birthday.
I like that. You kind of put that right in
there.
Oh,
I don't care about my birthday this year. I'm not going to have any fun. So it's, but at least it's two games. And it's during the day,
mm-hmm.
So it could be way, way, way worse.
You could waste some time over at the Costco up there. I know that they got one in that area.
Do they? I didn't know
that. Oh, yeah. It's okay. Like Costco heaven, I think.
All right, good.
It's right near Topsfield, you said, right? Yeah, there's a Costco there.
There's a knockoff Costco in Waltham by where my son plays baseball. So it appears to be
You're not talking about BJ's, are you? Like, cause that's the other kind of big.
No, it's
place.
Like no. It's not
Sam's?
BJ's or
Is
Costco.
It Sam's?
No, it seems to be a store because I'm always stuck right in front of it for about 10 minutes in traffic.
Sure.
So I keep take a gander around.
Yeah, yeah.
And people are coming out with like loads of like supplies, like lots of paper towels and
sure,
things.
Right.
So I'm assuming it's not a grocery store. It's not like a chain grocery store. So I'm assuming it's a localized type of situation. But I keep my eye on it. I'm there for about 10 minutes, stuck right in front of that thing on Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
I got Joe Murray talking about deep frying leftovers on the radio, and I got my eye on that place.
Yeah.
I can transport myself right there in my mind's eye. Joe Murray just babbling about nothing. My son on his phone, and the sweet, sweet knockoff wholesale
like
place.
The level of hell, like Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, where they're sitting there and all the bad stuff is surrounding them.
Yeah, bam. All right. Well, at least that's in Waltham. That's not so bad. All right. It's no Middleton or where the hell you're going.
Westford. Westford, Mass.
That's yeah, right. We've said we're just not going to go before. There was a game, I think, maybe in Westford where they said parents couldn't come in, and we were just like, life's too short. We ended up in Foxborough at that golf place where you hit against the screen.
Oh, the virtual stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got one of those near me.
Gave it to me for free.
Nice.
It was very nice of him. Gave a big tip, but what are you going to do? All right, Rich, what's going on? What are we going to talk about? There was a wheeling and dealing like no before last night.
Let's talk about how the NBA is on drugs, and it's fantastic.
All right, we will have all that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The NBA is the best when it comes to trades, and they did not disappoint yesterday.
Oh, no way. Blockbuster trade not 1 month into the regular season that affects two of the biggest pieces of baggage in the NBA. When James Harden on Tuesday night at his press conference ripped his own team and then abruptly walked away from the media, the Rockets knew, well, that was
okay,
it.
Okay, can we talk about that for a second? Let's take this piece by piece because diving deeper into Harden's career, they had a thing on SportsCenter this morning. That Harden did terrible in the playoffs, for one thing. I mean, like historically bad. The worst more games, I think, shooting under 10% than anyone else in NBA playoff history since the invention of the shot clock.
That's interesting. I did not know that. That's...
Yeah, and then they showed his greatest misses. Like, he single-handedly, like, handed Golden State the Western Conference a couple times. Second of all, he's got John Wall and Cousins.
Yeah.
So... I mean,
a good team. That's a good team on paper.
Yeah, and you're like, all right, well, then you win. Again, you win. You win. The situation is so bad. Well, you have two former All-Stars. I mean, Cousins, whatever his physical situation is now, but I mean, how many people in the world are built like Cousins? You know, eight? So, I mean, you got one of those guys on your team. Go. You win. All right.
We got John Wall, who, by the way, and speaking of DeMarcus Cousins, this was kind of interesting because Cousins made this comment before James Harden was traded. But, I mean, we played yesterday, you know, Harden walking away and then John Wall saying, we just need everybody to buy in, basically calling out James Harden. And then DeMarcus Cousins was, he said this yesterday.
Me personally, I don't feel betrayed at all. My interest in playing with John Wall, to be brutally honest. The disrespect started way before, you know, any interview. Just the approach to training camp, showing up the way he did, the antics off the court. I mean, the disrespect started way before. This is the nasty part of the business. So it is what it is.
Now, showing up the way he did, does that mean showing up later, showing up fat?
Showing up fat. Showing up like...
Which one of the two?
Extra 25 pounds on him. That's what he did.
Can you imagine Cousins calling you fat?
Yeah.
I mean, that is saying something. I mean, Cousins is just like, dude, I haven't been exercising. And look at you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're embarrassing me.
It's no question. And now Harden, a head case himself, joins a team that's already filled with head cases. The Nets will join, Harden will join the Nets with Kevin Durant and most likely Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn. The price for the Nets, first-round picks and four swaps. And to make it all work, somehow the Rockets end up with Victor Oladipo. The Pacers get Caris LeVert. And the Cavaliers get Jared Allen and Taurean Prince. All right, there's a lot to process here. First of all, we're hearing reports that in no way, shape, or form did the Rockets want Kyrie Irving as part of the deal, probably because they're not idiots.
Right. They
wanted an expiring contract, which is what Oladipo is, and because of that, they let Oladipo go. They're under the salary cap. They have $22 million in cap room next offseason.
And all the equity in the world. All the equity in the world.
Oh, my God. You have four first-round draft picks, three from Brooklyn, one from Cleveland, which is actually Milwaukee's pick. It's a low first-rounder, whatever.
But then you've got swap-a-roonies.
Yeah, and then you got swaps. In 3 years, they're all going to be top fives.
Yep.
Do you really think that? Okay, because I looked at this deal, and first of all, I don't even know if the Rockets got the best available deal because...
Oh, God, yes, they did. Well, oh, hell yes, they did.
Well, the Sixers offered Ben Simmons to the Rockets for James Harden.
But what John just said is what their theory was, is that they wanted to free up a bunch of cash.
What Houston did was what you should do. You have Westbrook, who is not aging out, but on the wrong side of 30. You have Harden, who's on the wrong side of 30. You weren't going to win with either of these two guys, and both of them have massive contracts. The only way to do this is to get picks in return, hit the reset button. You have a new head coach. You have John Wall, who can be there for a few years to lead you into the future. And here you go. You have an enormous amount
of first-round picks that could end up being in the 20s.
Not in a couple of years.
But that doesn't even matter because we know picks are they're basically just pieces of paper to be moved in trades.
Yeah, but anything
that don't cost anything.
But the, Brooklyn's going to be a pretty good team.
It doesn't.
For 2 years, they will.
But Rich, again, regardless of where these picks are, these are things you can throw into a deal that the team receiving the picks doesn't have to match with cap. And so,
not get a superstar now, like a legitimate Ben Simmons young superstar?
Because maybe they think, well, first of all, they want to free up all this money because they want to get three superstars. And second, and they got all this equity so they could afford it and they can move these picks in order to get a superstar. And so they're probably thinking, do we want to build around Ben Simmons or do we want an incredible amount of financial flexibility, and that's what they got.
I'm not sure, Rich, just to follow up your point, I'm not sure you can build a team around Ben Simmons. I mean, he's a very, very good player.
You have John Wall.
I understand that.
John Wall and Ben Simmons, that's a pretty damn good team.
Both of them handle the basketball.
Both of them are basically point guards.
I honestly think that Houston did the right thing here. If you have Ben Simmons, you don't have cap room next year, and you're tied down to Simmons, for as good as he is, I'm not sure he's a franchise cornerstone. Wall is a very good point guard, a distributor who's not selfish. Honestly, you have two guys who like to handle the basketball. I would rather have financial flexibility, pair someone with Wall during free agency next year, and then you have all of those first-round draft picks. Now, those picks this year and next year will be low, but if you look ahead 3, 4, 5 years into the future, and you're talking 6 or 7 years into the future about this trade, you're going to have Brooklyn's first-round picks are going to be high. After Harden and Irving and Durant leave this team, which could be after next season,
You're counting on Durant to leave this team.
Yes, I am.
That's the problem. If Durant stays, I don't care who you got around him. Those picks aren't going to be worth
much.
He's
got one more year after that.
He's going to leave.
I understand that, but all these contracts line up to 2 years and an option. All three guys. But then you have nothing.
But the way they traded the Nets got Harden for these picks, Houston can get player A in the same situation for those picks.
Well, the only problem is that the Celtics, if you've learned anything,
Celtics are a team that didn't do it, but other teams have.
Well, I'm just saying picks, like lower picks like this, if you've got picks that are like they're not worth a lot.
The Nets just got Harden for those picks.
Yeah, four of them. They gave every pick away.
And that's what Houston could do.
Houston could give away four.
Houston could also get. You just said Ben Simmons was offered as well. I mean, there were offers out there for Harden. They chose those picks for the very reason I just gave you.
Think about this, though. If Brooklyn made that ridiculous deal with the Celtics, it was for 3 first-round picks and a pick swap. The Celtics got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown out of that deal. I mean,
that's Rich's point. They were high picks, but I could also tell you, again, that many, many teams in the NBA have jettisoned a big gob of picks for an elite player.
Now, the one thing I will say that makes me laugh about all this is that maybe the reason they made this deal was because the Rockets is because they've dealt with James Harden. They know about Kyrie Irving, and they are 100% sure it's going to implode.
I think that's right.
And that, if that's the case, then that was wise to get these picks, because they're probably going, all right, those three ingredients in the same pot, there's no way this is going to work. So these picks are going to be extra valuable.
If that
makes me laugh. And you know what? The Rockets, the people who run the Rockets, from everything I've been reading, they aren't dumb, and they knew that they had to do this. And just, you know, you look at history with the players that are together the way that they are, and maybe that's kind of their train of thought, is that we know this team is going to implode, so we're taking a risk, a gamble, that these are going to end up being valuable.
Even if they were all number one overall picks, you can't use them all. I don't think it really even matters. I mean, it's nice if the Nets fail, but it doesn't really matter that much. And the Nets for the next 6 years aren't obviously going to be in the hunt for the NBA championship. I mean,
not if you listen to the prognosticators on TV. They're all of a sudden the best team in the East.
Well, that could be this year, but I'll tell you is that, you know, unless they want to be the Lakers when they had Nash and Karl Malone and Gary Payton.
In 3 years, in 2 seasons from now, it's going to be very, very different. And getting back to your other point, Rich, you have James Harden, a ball-dominant point guard. Kyrie Irving, if he decides to play, another ball-dominant point guard. Kevin Durant, who's the best player of the three of them, is going to have to wait to get the basketball from either one of
those guys.
Who
should have the ball in his hands more than anybody.
Well,
right.
Let's break. And then and by the way, the stat, I just saw it on the screen again, was players with the most games in the postseason shooting under 20%, and it was Harden with 5.
Last four or five years, yeah.
Not last 4 or 5 years, since the advent of the shot clock. And it just happened that Jay Crowder was number 2 and Paul George was number 3. But no, it is since the advent of the Sharp Clark, the only other player with five games under 20%, Bob Cousy.
Mm-hmm. Well, shooting percentages were way down back then. You look at Tommy Heinsohn's shot numbers, they weren't very good either.
Heinsohn just used his backside to back people up. All right, so one of the great theories we'll have for you coming up is what the Nets might have been thinking. If you are a man who loves fair play, you will maybe like this theory. We will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Hi, Fred. Hi, Rich. John, how are you?
Thank you for saying our name.
In Boston, everybody knows their names.
It lends a sense of intimacy to this conversation.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Oldest chum.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I was getting a soda. What the hell was that?
That was a nice little thing that they made out of Bruce Cassidy's interview yesterday, where he called us by our names, and they had "Where Everybody Knows Your Name." Not bad. Not bad.
All right.
Freshens it up a little bit. I got no problem with that.
I didn't hear it. That's why I said, what the hell was it?
It was good.
Good for you. All right. So here's the deal. Kyrie Irving, hasn't been showing up there from Brooklyn, and they, just traded for James Harden. Now, you could think, is this appeasing Kyrie Irving because he's boys with Harden? But the way I like to read this is, and hopefully for all that's good in the world, is that this is the Nets saying, take your time. You're really not needed.
Yeah, well, it's the Nets knowing that his future might not be long with this team. So, I mean, Fred, the fact of the matter is, Brooklyn still has no idea where Kyrie Irving is or when he's coming back. But we now may know why he left. And reportedly now, it's not because of anything going on in the country, as was previously reported. So
that's shocking.
So this guy, Tommy D, he works for SNY TV. That's like the, I believe, the boss, NBC Sports Boston. I think they run all of the Nets games. He said that Kyrie is, quote, furious with the organization and doesn't have anything to do with the team's decision to bring James Harden in. Irving reportedly is upset by the Nets' decision to hire Steve Nash as a head coach because, quote, he was not in favor of it. D also described the relationship between Irving and Kevin Durant as, quote, very distant. Hang on. I thought Nash and had the Kyrie seal of approval. Wasn't there this big song and dance after that was done where he came out and he was talking about, yeah, Nash, and then we can all be coaches, and then, oh, we're all friends, and he kind of tried to patch that up. I thought that it had come out that he had said that he was down with that and whatever words he was using. And now, 10 games into the season, you decide, you know what, I don't like the decision after all, so I'm just going to disappear.
That seems, sometimes I think Kyrie Irving might not be consistent in his thoughts.
It's kind of like a very low attention span, something shiny in the corner, and he's like, oh,
well,
look.
He was very upset with what happened at the Capitol. He couldn't possibly play.
Right. Well, that's why this isn't the worst move by the Nets, because of that. And the assumption might be that Kyrie might just quit playing, and he's hinted to retiring, and it sure doesn't seem that's where his head's at. So
he runs out of money in 2 years if he retires right now, I would imagine.
Is he a big money spender? Is he one of those guys?
I don't know.
He's just a weirdo.
He's a weirdo, so I would guess that money could go anywhere. Now, it might go to wonderful places. He might end up, he is philanthropic and he does give money to charities, but one way or the other, that's not going to be his anymore. Now, he might leave this earth being a saint, but one way or the other, that money's gone, in my opinion.
I love Kendrick Perkins, and Kendrick Perkins can't stand Kyrie, so this was pretty good yesterday from Perk.
If I'm a teammate, I feel disrespected, but are we surprised? No, I'm not. Not one bit, because I've been said this about Kyrie. And yeah, you know what's the bad part about it? Is that it's so many people in the world today, right? Just think, even in our network, coworkers that lost their jobs because of the pandemic, that are trying to find work, hardworking everyday people that don't have jobs. Here you are getting paid $35 million to show up to work and play the game of basketball, and you can't do that. Another thing, you are the vice president of the Players Association. So look, that makes the Players Association look bad. You know why? Because you're doing things on your own again, without communicating with others, without telling people that you're supposed to be leading, and just going off and doing your own thing, and it's not a good look. And to be honest with y'all, if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, I'm looking to trade Kyrie Irving right now, because I just never know with this guy. You never know what you're going to get from him. And if you're a contender, a title contender, a team that's trying to win a championship, you definitely don't want someone that's not all in or may just, you know, disappear in the course of the playoffs and no one can find him. That's just unacceptable.
He may hate Kyrie, but he's not wrong about any of that. I forgot about the whole Players Association thing. I mean, honestly, like, what are you representing here? Like, how can you be the guy that's supposed to show the league how players are supposed to be treated and respected when you are disrespecting the team, the game, and everything altogether? And I know that a lot of people were talking about, well, you don't understand Kyrie's head. You know, he might be in a bad place. If the reports that he's doing this because he doesn't like Steve Nash, then you can throw that out the window.
No, he's crazy. The thing is he's crazy. And that's the bottom line, is that he's nuts. And it's, I mean, he never won't be. So
he doesn't want to play basketball. That's the thing. It's like, he just didn't think quit. He should just retire.
Well, he gets paid and he likes money. So, and he likes probably the notoriety that comes with it. And he likes people, as much as he didn't want to talk to the media for the 5 days that he stuck with that. You know, he probably likes...
I don't even think it was that. I think it was like 36 hours.
All right, very good. Well, even more. And so I think that, you know, he probably likes that he's a mystery man and people don't know where he is. I guarantee it. He's a kid in the backyard building a fort with two bricks and a 2x4. His mind is... pretty soon he's going to be, you know, this iconic character wandering the face of the earth, solving everyone's problems. I mean, it really is. It's like when you went in the backyard and you and your friend wrote a note saying, we're going to sail to Europe. We're going to build a boat and sail to Europe. And then you wrote like all the supplies you'd need. And you grabbed like a can of SpaghettiOs and a 2x4. And that was, you got sick of it and went off and played baseball for a while. That's exactly what Kyrie is. He's an adult child. He, in his mind, he's this fantastic, mystical being that is going to, you know, is working on a level that none of us can understand, and the game of basketball is beneath him.
He's going to form a group called Wild Stallions.
That's right. And he's gone into so many phone booths and just can't dial the right number to get himself transported. But that's, yeah. he is an adult child, and he's crazy. Well, which equals crazy, by the way. I mean, well, he's behaving like an 8-year-old.
Well, as a Celtics fan, you have to be rooting for Kyrie to stay there, because I think that Harden and Durant, just on their own, that's got a chance to win. Like that's a team that has a chance to do something dangerous in the Eastern Conference. But with Kyrie Irving in the mix, there's no chance that team can be anything. I mean, they're going to implode with those three personalities together. There's no chance. But if you get rid of Kyrie Irving, the talent is undeniable. They've got chemistry. They've played together before, the two of them. And I also think that, you know, if Harden, this is what he wanted, and maybe there's a chance at least that he might behave and they might be able to do something worth a damn.
I'm not convinced that they win, but
Harden, I'm saying there's
Durant
a chance.
The only way Brooklyn wins is if Kyrie Irving comes back and plays nice with everybody and the three of them somehow figure out a way to share the basketball.
He won't.
Brooklyn,
that won't.
All right. Well, then let's continue that theory. Brooklyn just traded away all their depth. They were one of the deepest teams in the NBA, and they just got rid of three rotation players plus all of their first round draft picks for one guy who's going to be there for 2 years. And the hope is that these three guys can play together, and in these next 2 years they'll win a championship, because after that, forget it. Brooklyn has, they gave away a very good center in Jared Allen, who averaged a double-double in 25 minutes this year.
Crushes and, the
and
Celtics.
And Caris LeVert, who averages about 20 points a game. Dinwiddie's already out for the season. He averaged 20 points a game. They have maybe seven guys now that can play, and that's including Kyrie. They're in trouble if Kyrie Irving doesn't play. Harden and Durant, as good as they are, and both of them can be top 10 players, or are top 10 players, aren't enough.
How long until Harden's not fat? That would be interesting.
At least six months.
How long will it take an elite athlete to lose 30 pounds?
You know what? I watched Harden play the other night, and he's not terrible. He's not terrible.
He was just terrible.
He's not fat. Like, I mean, the pictures that came out when he first came back were, and I hate to say because it's way funnier that he's fat, were a pretty bad angle. He's not really fat right now.
Yes, he is. Yeah, oh, yes, he is. He's absolutely fat right now.
Like the other, have you watched him within the past week?
Yes. And that's where I got my opinion. I looked at him and I'm like, man, oh man, he's at least 275.
Because you know, he's moving fast on there. So just get me a good photo recently of him being fat.
I just watched television. I saw it warm up for Houston. Three days ago, he looks like he's 275.
And I'm looking because it's funny. Like, the fact that he's fat makes it, like, you know, he just shows I was disappointed. He wasn't as fat as I'd hoped he'd be.
I'm with you. I hope Kyrie Irving shows up and the whole thing implodes and Brooklyn, we never hear from Brooklyn again. I hope that happens. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this will be two times in a decade that they, you know, sold everything to get the Golden Goose and it blows up. I mean, there's a chance you could just have that team be nothing after, remember, they went all in with Paul Pierce and Garnett and all that, and then they were left with nothing. There's a chance that could happen again. So, I mean, if that's the case, under two different ownerships, too, which is kind of funny out of all this. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But all I know is that recipe, that is not a recipe for success. That is, I can't think of three players that you could put together. Honestly, pick three players in this league, in this entire league, that you don't think that you could put together that would be more combustible than those three.
I can't.
No.
They've done it. They cracked the code. Yeah. They found the three most effed up people to put together and put them together.
Entitled people in the league. This is interesting. So I Googled just real quick, and then we're going to talk to Butch Cassidy over there, Bruce Cassidy. I Googled the Middleton Mass, and then, you know, it brings it up on a map. Mm-hmm. The photo in the upper left-hand corner is just of a tree stump.
I should do that with Westford.
Like, for real.
Find out what that is.
For real. And then I clicked on the tree stump, and the picture under it is just another tree stump. So Middleton is apparently very well known for their wood. Their tree stumps that just exist there. All right. Well, listen. Build a big basketball complex in a low trafficked area, and you will get everyone to come out to you. Because it's funny, because everyone that works here that's got kids is out over there. Did you see the trees, though?
No. Everyone's sending me videos of James Harden in pregame warm-ups.
Yeah, he's fat.
And he looks fat. But I watched him while he was playing. Now, he does look really fat in these warm-ups.
Yes.
He looks really fat in the warm-ups. He does. But I mean, I didn't see him having the warm-ups out of the time. All right. That looks fat.
He's overweight.
All right. Well, listen. You get your conscience right and see if you can, with all good conscience, call him fat.
No, I was disappointed that he wasn't fat when I watched him. But this video, he definitely looks like a chunky monkey. He's a big chungus.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back with Bruce Cassidy in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.